Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How does Jesus' reign differ from that of earthly kings? For one thing, Jesus rules over three separate kingdoms. These are the kingdom of power, the kingdom of grace, and the kingdom of glory. The kingdom of glory is his rule over the heavenly realms, where the cherubim and seraphim, the angels and archangels, and all those who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb are before the throne of God. The kingdom of grace is his rule over the church, where he gives the forgiveness he earns on the cross of Calvary to those who believe through the means of grace, the word, and the sacraments. And the kingdom of power is his rule over all created things, from the people and rulers of the earth, to the plants and the animals, to the planet itself, and even to the rest of the universe. No earthly king rules over three of these, like Jesus. At best, one might rule over most of the world, but no one king has ruled over the entire world like Jesus. And Jesus also rules without sin. No earthly ruler is without sin, no matter how good they may be. Whether you're a friend of President Donald Trump or President Barack Obama or one of their predecessors, not one of them has been without sin. They have all made mistakes, and some of them have had sins that even got them guilty in office, got them in trouble in office. But one big way that Jesus' rule is different from that of earthly rulers is that his is an eternal rule. This rule was promised for him back in our Old Testament text. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, the rule which Christ would have was promised to King David, the one whose line Jesus would enter. So we turn back to our Old Testament text to see how this rule would work. Our text began when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies. The king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent." Nathan replied to go ahead and do what was on his heart, but later that night the Lord would come to speak to Nathan. He said to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar?'" In these first verses, King David realizes and recognizes all that the Lord God has done to bless him. He had given him a great house, a house made out of cedar, and he had delivered him from all of his surrounding enemies. He didn't feel that it was right for him to live in such a great place and for the ark of the Lord to be in a mere tent. Going to consult Nathan, who as the prophet of God was the one to find out the will of God, Nathan encouraged him to do what he had said. But Nathan did not first consult with the Lord. So that night the Lord spoke to Nathan about the topic. The Lord reminded Nathan, and Nathan as his speaker, that throughout his time with the Israelites, the Lord had not commanded for a house to be built for him to live in. In all of these places, the Lord had been with his people, Israel. He promised to be with them as they carried the ark with them, but ultimately, he was with them in the same way he is with us. He was and is specially present with his saving power and grace, where he promises to be present in his word. These promises to be with his people anticipated the greater day of Emmanuel, which means God with us. In the days of David and Nathan, it was later fulfilled when God entered humanity in the flesh of his Son. Today, Jesus continues to be present according to his grace, wherever his gospel and his sacraments are present. As we learned in our catechism classes from the creeds, Jesus is the second person of God. Like God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are eternal, Jesus is also eternal and was present with the Israelites as part of the Godhead in the Old Testament. His presence with humanity would be fully understood in his incarnation, his coming to dwell in the flesh at Christmas 2,000 years ago. So Jesus was present with his people in the ark and did not need a cedar house in which to live. He continued speaking to Nathan. Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own place, and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more, as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. In these words, God reminded David of his calling, from being a lowly shepherd, to being the king of Israel. He brought to mind that he had been with David and kept him safe from all of his enemies. But that was not all that God was going to do. He was going to continue to be with his people, and he would plant them in a good land. And what is more, God would be giving David a house instead. Yet the house God promised would not be one made with human hands, but instead a dynasty, a family. God did not and does not need the works of man. He does work for them, for you. He gave David his kingdom as well as relief from his enemies. He would be the one who would appoint a place for his people Israel, and he would be the one to plant them so that they might dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. The same is true today. God doesn't need our works. We need him and his. God doesn't need our music, our offerings, or our works. Instead of making us work to save ourselves, he would be the one sending one in the line of King David, his son, Jesus the Christ, to save us from our sins. It is still good, right, and salutary to sing and play instruments to the Lord, to give him tithes and offerings, and to do everything to his glory. But not because he needs it, but out of thanksgiving to him for sending his son, who would be the babe born in the manger. God concluded his words to David saying, your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. God's word would be fulfilled in the birth of Jesus, the last in the line of King David. Jesus would be a king like no other. Many who would come across him in his earthly life believed that he would be a king after his forefather David, establishing an earthly kingdom. But Jesus would say, my kingdom is not of this world. God does not do things the way that we would expect. Jesus did not come to set up an earthly kingdom. He was not born into royalty in a great mansion or castle. He promised David an eternal kingdom, but it would be one which he himself would not rule. And rather than permit David to build the ark a house, God promised to give David one, a house and a dynasty that would last forever, one which no enemies would be able to withstand or attack. We, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, cannot put God into a box. We don't know his mind, but what we do know is what he has revealed to us, and that is his plan of salvation. Jesus would come from the line of David to rule the eternal kingdom, not as a sinner, but as one who would save sinners from the punishment they deserve. And Jesus has done it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds unto life everlasting. Amen.